And now, Ben Bailey.
He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. 1 John 4, verse 8. Welcome to our study of the book of 1 John. In this second lesson on 1 John, we're going to notice how that in chapters 3 through 5, John shows us that God is love, and the application is, we must walk in love. John begins by showing the great love that God has for us. In 1 John 3, verse 1, the Bible says this, "Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us, that we can be called children of God, and this we are." John begins by putting the love of God at the forefront and says, look at God's amazing love for mankind. Behold what manner of love He has showered upon us, that what? That we can be called children of God. Friend, it is by the love of God that we have the privilege of calling God our Father. And that love came at a very high cost. Romans 5, verses 6 through 8, the Bible says, "For God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Scarcely for a righteous man one might die, yet perhaps for a good man someone might dare to die." But listen to this. "But God demonstrates His own love toward us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Friend, when we think about the amazing love of God, it's beyond comprehension that while man was at his worst, when man was a sinner and ugly and pitiful and stabbed God in the back multiple times, that's the point when God sent His Son, His beloved Son, to die for us. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:21, "God made Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin on our behalf, that we might be made the righteousness of God in Him." God took His own Son and made Him a sin offering for our sin, and yet Jesus had no sin of His own. 2 Corinthians 8:9 puts it in the beautiful scheme of, or the beautiful picture of Christ and all that He gave up. "You know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, though He was rich, yet for your sakes He became poor, that we, through His poverty, might be made rich." Think of what Jesus gave up in the realms of heaven, left that, came to earth, lived and died as a man. And why? So that we could have the hope of salvation. Look at John 3:16. "God so loved the world that He gave." Gave what? "His only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life." And Galatians 4:4 says it this way, "While we were at our worst, when man had come to a point where sin was unbearable to God, when it was God had sent His Son to die in the world for us," Galatians chapter 4 shows that in due time Christ did die for mankind, died for the ungodly, and therefore we can be called children of God. We are adopted sons and daughters of the God of heaven. And so look at God's amazing love. Now, what does this love cause us to do? Friend, when we see the love of God, walking in God's love means, and it causes us to purify ourselves. 1 John 3, verse 3, John says, "Everyone who has this hope, the hope that knowing we are children of God and that we'll be changed to the image of Jesus," verse 2, "everyone who has this hope in himself purifies himself." The love of God is what causes us to want to live a pure life. God said, "Be holy. He who called you is holy." 1 Peter 1, verse 15. The Bible says in Romans chapter 2, verses 7 through 9, that it is the goodness of God that brings man to repentance. Hebrews 12, verse 14 teaches us that without holiness, no one will see God. And when I look at the life of Christ, all that He did, the way He lived, how that He lived a perfect life, He was tempted at all points as we are, yet without sin, Hebrews 4, verse 15, when I look at the great love that God had for me, friend, it humbles me. It makes me want to live a holy life. I want to live for God every day. I want to be faithful to the cause of Christ, and I want to glorify God because of His great love for me and for you. But you know, walking in love also, it not only causes us to live pure lives, but walking in love ought to cause us to avoid sin. John identifies what sin is. Notice 1 John 3, verse 4, John clearly says what sin is. He says in verse 4, "Whoever commits sin also commits lawlessness." And notice, sin is lawlessness or transgression of the law. When I want to live in view of the love of God, a pure life, I need to clearly understand what sin is. We need to avoid lawlessness for all transgression of the law is sin. 1 John 5:16 says all unrighteousness is sin. And so we have all lawlessness. When God sets up a standard, His Word is our law, James 1:22-25, and we break that law. We do other than what the Word of God says, we've sinned. When we do unrighteousness, when we do things that we know are ungodly, 1 John 5:16 says that's a sin. And James identifies another sin. James 4:17, for him that knows to do good and does it not, to him it is a sin. And so walking in love means that I want to know what sin is and I want to avoid it. Now, friend, let's be honest and let's be clear. There are people who come to the book of 1 John and try to teach that a Christian can't sin, and they misuse verses like 1 John 3:9. Notice what 1 John 3:9 says. Look at this passage. John says concerning sin, whoever has been born of God does not sin, for his seed remains in him, and he cannot sin because he's been born of God. Is John trying to teach that a child of God can never sin? Whoever has been born of God does not sin. Some will say he cannot sin, and therefore they believe passages like these teach that a child of God cannot so sin as to be lost. Friend, if that's true, John has already contradicted himself twice. 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from sin. If we say that we have no sin, we make Him a liar, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us all iniquities. Who's John writing to? Christians. And he says, you've got to walk in the light, and what that means is you need to recognize you do sin, and you need to confess that. Now, wait a minute. Why would we need to do that if we cannot sin? What about 1 John 2:1-2? John says, these things I write to you, my little children, these things I write to you, that you may not sin. But if anyone does sin, he has an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. He himself is the propitiation for our sins, not for ours alone, for the sins of the whole world. John says, I'm writing so that you may not sin, but if you do, wait a minute. I thought Christians could not sin. You see, it all is based on the language of 1 John 3:9. That word sin in 1 John 3:9 is in the present tense. What that means is, this is not a one-time sin. John is not saying whoever's born of God can never commit one sin. John is saying whoever's born of God does not continue in a life of sin. In fact, most translations today recognize that as present tense, durative, continuing action. All John is saying is, if you're born of God and His seed remains in you, you're not going to continue practicing a life of sin. You cannot do that and be a faithful child of God. Now, friend, be sure. The Scriptures teach that a child of God can sin and be lost. Over and over again, this is taught. The Bible says, and I want you to think about Galatians 5:4. The Bible says in Galatians 5:4, you who attempt to be justified by law, you have become severed from Christ. You have fallen from grace. Who's John? Who's Paul writing to? Galatians 1:1-2, he's writing to the churches of Galatia. People in the church are saved and are a part of the body of Christ. And so two Christians, Paul says, those of you who are in the body, who are trying to go back and attempt to be justified by law, you've become cut off from Christ. You have fallen from grace. Now, so many today say you can't fall from grace. You can't so sin as to be lost. Paul said the exact opposite. Think about Acts 8:20-22. Here's Simon. Simon, in his past life, has been something like a magician, a trickster. He now sees that through the laying on of the apostles' hands, the Holy Spirit is given and real miracles are present. He reverts back after his conversion and says, I'll give you money if you give me that gift. And Peter says to him, your money perish, listen to this, with you. You have neither part nor portion in this matter. Your heart's not right with God. Repent and pray that the evil thought of your heart might be forgiven you. He was in sin, needed to be forgiven, and notice, his money was going to what? Perish with him. Here's Simon. Just obey the gospel. He sinned after obeying the gospel, and he was told, you're going to be lost, you're going to perish. People who are Christians can sin. They shouldn't. They ought not to live in sin, but sometimes they do. Bible says in 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12, take heed lest ye fall. Revelation 3, verses 4 and 5, some in the church in Revelation were going to have their names taken out of the book of life if they were not careful. And so is 1 John 3:9 teaching it's impossible to sin? No. All it's teaching is that the Word of God remains in you. Luke 8:11, it's the seed. If we're trying to follow the teaching of Jesus, you can't practice sin and still claim to be faithful to God. This is what John has been teaching throughout. Now, 1 John 3, verse 18 shows us that walking in love is not something you say, it's something you do. What does it mean to walk in love? Look in 1 John 3, verse 18. Remember, God is love, and we must walk in love, but what does that really mean? Notice 1 John 3, verse 18. John says, my little children, let us not love in word or in tongue, but in deed and in truth. The idea of deed is in action and in truth. We can't just say, God, I love you, and then never do anything. To walk in love, like walking in light, means that we must do what God says. Think about James chapter 2. James gives us an illustration of real faith, what it means to walk according to the teaching of Jesus. And James says, imagine you've got in this scenario, someone who comes in, and they're naked and they're destitute, they need food and the clothing, and they come to you and they tell you about this, and you say, God bless you, I hope you get what you need, and you send them off. And you never give them anything. Have you shown your faith? He says, no. You can't show your faith without doing something. You can't show your love for God without doing something. Just like that person who came in and was needy, and you said, oh, we love you so much, God bless you, we hope you get what you need, and you just kind of push them out the door and never give them anything. Have you really shown them love? Of course not. You've got to do something to show your faith, and you've got to do something to show your love. Jesus said this. This is nothing new. John 14, verse 15, Jesus said, if you love me, what? Keep my commandments. That leads right into 1 John 3, verse 24. To walk in love, to walk in love that's in deed and in truth, you must obey the commandments of God. Notice 1 John 3, verse 24. The Bible says, now he who keeps his commandments abides in him, and he in him, and by this we know that he abides in us by the Spirit whom he's given us. How can we know? John's writing a lot about knowing. How can you know you're walking in love and that you abide in God? It's very simple. If you take the Bible with an unbiased, unprejudiced attitude, and you read what it says, and you do it. Friend, the way to know a true and tried, bulletproof way of knowing you're in the love of God is to take the Bible and do what it says. You can't know beyond that.